Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta get my earphones.
Walk in the blood, yeah. I can see clear. The body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Tell me, can you hear?
Another block, hot, crooked cop, gunshot, another body drop. Grandma waiting at the bus stop. County jail letter in the mailbox. House shoes, sweat socks, teach your braided heads on the porch. To get that extra guap, eviction face at rock bottom. Pray she bounce back on top. American dream, a nightmare, please make it stop. Neighbors watching, hell, modern day dress. God slinging rocks, black boy, white tank top. Baggy jeans, dreadlocks, streaming of that drop top. Non-stop, Chinese spot, and let me get a black and mild hawk. Navigate, liquor store, project floors, and vacant lots. We be the have-nots. When we have, we become what we got. Another car ride by system knock. That new shit, pedestrians jot. Hip-hop corner, stay a track in the fly. To pay the back of the watch. Single mother's hustle, to punch the time clock. Crime a cash crop, somebody wanted the dime drops. Ice grills, mask a kind heart, as time talks. Fathers are holograms, sons waiting for the day to snuff Uncle Sam. Why not? No sympathy for that man, he get what he deserved, damn. I said he get what he deserve, y'all. Look, and he get what he deserve, y'all. They keep telling me. Body found in the attic, contents of a purse scattered. Leftover, re-shattered, clothes tattered, lipstick smear. Broken glass, no news reports on the matter. Nobody gathered, nothing changed, asked around about a name. Some said Tamika, some claimed Lorraine. The tag on the foot said Jane. I wonder who she was, did she give and receive love? Did she fight back or just gave up? She lay there, legs cold, hair gold. Framed in the child's pose, bruised nose. Seeming say pantyhose, Sade on the radio. Sour singer through the window. I wonder if pain has a temple, her bed is slow. Street survive, never live, then we die. Drink the bird glass, ceiling higher. Born on the wrong side, is there a right side? Classified, I labor sober, nickel and dime. And who decides? I lied by sign in order down the line. They see they gentrified, push us outside the city lines. Sirens frame the evening, profile for being non-white. Breathing, walking the streets, bored cops, they fiending. Probable reason, no donut shop, the season roll up. On a couple cats, Spanish speaking. Mexicans, but they screaming Puerto Ricans. They thinking they all the same, fuck them. Blow out their brains, killing season. It's 1 hour, wish they could take us all out. Let the dogs out, niggas should be hanging from trees. Auction off now, load them up, blast until they all down. Fire shots in full force now, they never see the courthouse, y'all. They never see the courthouse, y'all. They never see the courthouse, they never see the courthouse, they never see it. Hey, and something keeps telling me. My brother say, body dropped today on the block. Somebody just got shot today on the block. Look, y'all, watch the day. Another body dropped. Somebody just got shot today on the block. Look, y'all, watch the day on the block. Another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Look, y'all, watch the day. Another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Look, y'all, watch the day on the block. Today on the block. Today on the block.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to Moments with Misty in conjunction with Black Think Tank Radio. I wanted to talk to you tonight about a phenomenon that is impacting our community and one that I think needs our attention immediately. It's been a long time coming. Tonight I want to talk to you about the hypersexualization of our youth and how the focus on female sexuality and reproduction has negatively impacted our young men and has negatively impacted the number of teen births, pregnancies, and unplanned pregnancies. Now, I know that this is a complex problem in our community, and it is compounded by poverty, lack of information, lack of resources, childhood trauma, sexual violence, hypersexuality in the media and the music that children are being exposed to. So it's a multifaceted problem. However, tonight I want to just focus on one element of that problem. For quite some time, modesty and the regulation of female sexuality has been the focus. Now, I don't know right off the top of my head if I would say that the correlation, which I believe that there is, the correlation between African-American sexuality and thoughts on modesty and things like that, they're directly tied with Christianity and Puritan belief systems and having been injected or forcibly injected into this culture and then having religion, Christianity, and Puritanism being forced on us as enslaved people in the United States and having our own culture, thoughts and beliefs and practices around sexuality erased, forcibly erased. I think it's safe to assume that the ideation that we have around sexuality is directly tied to our enslavement in this country. I think it's safe to say that the sexual trauma that both male and female enslaved people here in this country experienced has also negatively impacted our outlook on sexuality. So you have all of these pieces and facets mixed together, and now we have this problem in our community with our youth being hypersexual, babies being born in poverty, unplanned pregnancy, HIV running rampant, and other sexually transmitted diseases, as well as all of these brown, black babies being born and then subsequently going into the foster care system or remaining in poverty and becoming a part of a cycle of poverty and a lack of information, which then, of course, generationally, now we're having children 12 years younger than their parents, 14 years younger than their parents, because a lot of the attention that we've had is on female modesty and kind of silencing and controlling female sexuality. Now, where am I going with this? I think that we need to shift our focus to our young men. I don't believe that enough of our young men are taught the value of their life, the value and the power of their seed, and how and why they should protect that seed. I think we are reinforcing promiscuity to the point where our young black males are out here and they just sprinkling semen all over like the Pope, some for you, some for you, some for you, you know, like they're baptizing people. And they don't understand that that's their life force. They don't understand that they're planting seeds, making children. And these children, these seeds are taking root. But for the root be strong enough and go deep enough to be able to withstand life in utero and outside of the uterus, once born. When you have all of these children making babies and spreading seeds all over, these weak seeds, and what I mean by weak seeds, are these children being brought up in situations where they are not being equipped to survive oppression. I think our young men, if they understood the power that they have, the authority that they're given, the God-given authority that they have, and we teach them how to protect that seed, how to intentionally plant that seed in fertile ground, what it looks like to be mated up with someone who can cultivate that seed. All of that starts with waking up our youth, particularly our males, waking up our youth to have them understand who they are, what they were created for, and why they are superior. Because these messages of inferiority have been given to our youth for so long. The adults buy into it. Now our youth buy into it. The music reiterates it. And they think that having all of these sexual partners is what makes them a man. Now, this isn't some overnight solution, and certainly this isn't, this is going to take a lot of work in our communities, raising awareness, letting our young men be in the forefront of changing how we view sexuality, reproduction in our communities, how we view unborn life in our community, how we view infants and toddlers and preschoolers and kindergartners and elementary students and junior high students and high school students and college students. We have to change the paradigm in our community where these young men are elevated. I've had a lot of people come to me and they're like, well, why do a lot of young men turn to Islam when they are incarcerated? Or, you know, what is this attraction to Islam? Islam gives a lot of our young men discipline and accountability and clear leadership. And I think that, and I'm not saying that we all should turn to Islam, by no means. And as a person who practiced the faith, I've practiced many different faiths, but I'm sharing tonight with what the draw to that religion is. If we could instill that with an understanding that each one of us is tied into a higher universal power, whatever you want to call it, that your makeup, that the melanin in your skin elevates you, that you are not below other people, and that the life that you are able to create, I mean, can change the world. We have to change the way our youth perceive themselves. And this is something that I want to continue to talk about and tie in mental illness in our community and substance abuse in our community and this AIDS epidemic, this HIV epidemic in our community, and just some ways that we can actually positively impact our community. I'd like to open the floor right now to see if there's, or the mic right now, to see if anybody wants to chime in or has any thoughts that they would like to add. I'm not controlling the board right now, so I need to, I don't know who's in queue or who's not or who's waiting to come in and comment. I'm interested in what your thoughts are.
Hey, sister, how are you doing? This is Brother Ozzy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Very interesting subject that you have going on here, and something definitely important that we need to discuss out here. I'm wondering, because a lot of times when we bring this sort of subject up, it turns into a gender war where, mm-hmm. you know, people, mostly men, will jump in saying, well, don't the female, don't they have a responsibility too with these young men that are out here, like you said, they're out here sprinkling their seed like it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Don't the young ladies have a responsibility to not open their legs for these young men? But I know that goes back to your whole statement of the hypersexualization of our young people.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, how do we keep this subject from turning into a gender war? Because I get what you're saying, and everything you're saying is on point. I didn't have children. I didn't have my first until I was 30 years old. So, you know, I enjoyed, you know, my youth, my 20s, my early adulthood. I was able to enjoy that and get some experience under my belt so that when my first son came along, you know, I was kind of grounded. And, you know, I know that teenage pregnancy has always been there. It's always been there. A lot of times it wasn't talked about, but it's always been there. Sometimes to the detriment of, you know, the young couple or the single mother, and sometimes not. You know, a lot of times, you know, in our, especially in our culture, it was looked down upon if a woman was pregnant and she didn't have a husband, for the most part. So my thing is, it's still looked down upon, but my thing is, it's not as prevalent as it was back when, say, you and I.
I can't hear you anymore. I'm here. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was saying, you know, it was like when I was growing up, it was looked down upon if, you know, a woman didn't have a husband or at least a boyfriend, you know, if she got pregnant. And these days, it's like it's the norm, or, you know, it's okay. You know, even though it's not okay, and we realize that our family structure is so splintered right now and shattered that, you know, we have to find some type of way to put it back together. So, you know, I'm like, how do we get what you said, your statement, from turning into a gender war? How do we make people understand that everything that you said, you know, is definitely on point? You know, and the young men do need to take a responsibility for their seed.
We have to understand, and I agree with you that, yes, there are going to be people who are going to turn this into a gender war. The people that try to do that don't understand the level of brainwashing that they have. Let me clarify that statement. Anytime that we engage in a pitting of the genders against each other, we're buying into an agenda. We're buying into an agenda and a mindset that has corrupted our community. The responsibility of procreation is on both genders.
Somebody out there needs to hear that just now, what you just said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, it's propaganda used to divide. And so the responsibility of procreation is on both parties, 100%. But what has happened is the shift of responsibility has been squarely placed upon the person who carries life. But we have to understand something. Although a woman's ability to carry life is essential, it does not supersede the fact that that man planted life. That's why it's a partnership. That's why when I say our young men have to shift their thinking about their seed, our focus hasn't been on educating our young men. It hasn't been on elevating their mindset on anything past ejaculation.
Right. You're
it hasn't
right.
connected them to what that seed means. You want to live forever, you live forever through your lineage. But see, if your seed is weak, it dies off. And if a man understands the value of his seed, he's not just going to plant it in any ground. Now, if you're a Christian, that's biblical. If you can think about what I just said, that is biblical. You don't
right.
want to plant your seed on weak ground. You want to plant it on fertile ground so that those roots take root deeply, strongly, to be able to deal with the environment.
Right, to flourish.
So, exactly. So when I talk to you and I hear people saying this is going to become a female and a male, you know, battle of genders, no. Because, see, I am not saying that it is all male responsibility. I'm not saying that it's all female responsibility. Yes, a woman should scrutinize who she allows to plant seeds in her body. Yes, she should. She should not open her legs for just anybody and receive seed from anybody or even engage in sexual activity. Because if you understand the transference of energy during a sex act, you would probably be less inclined to lay up next to somebody.
No doubt. No doubt.
So when we look at all of that, I'm saying let's shift our attention and not just have it solely on female sexuality and reproduction, but let's broaden that horizon to include our young men so that they have value in the life that they can create. I'm saying we have done damage by only focusing on females. That's what I'm saying.
Message definitely received. Definitely received. You put it very eloquently, and I couldn't have said it better. Our young men are out here not taking responsibility in more ways than one, and that's because that they haven't been taught to take the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, and on the other hand, like you said, it's about getting the sensation, and after ejaculation, it's like whatever. And my thing
mm-hmm.
is that we do have to. Definitely implant in their minds and in their heads that, hey, it's a big responsibility, even to go about having sex. And in
mm-hmm.
some cultures, they still do it today. There's a rites of passage before you even get to that point. And that's one thing I think that is really missing is the rites of passage has gone to the wayside in our culture. And you can see that just by looking at social media or just by looking at these court shows, looking
mm-hmm.
at paternity court, anything. I was like, if you look at it, you will see that there are no more rites of passage to even being a couple.
I agree. I feel like it's a free-for-all. We're kind of caught up in this. It's been off from the 90s, this me, I. It's all about what I want. It's all about, what I can get. And, there's no responsibility with sexual activity anymore. There's no responsibility to the consequences of, you know, reckless sexual activity. I agree that there was a rite of passage. People talk about how mature people were, you know, getting married at 17, 18, or, you know, waiting to start a family, or in different regions of Africa and different countries and tribes, there are rites of passage where a young man goes out and proves that he is responsible enough to head a family. And so,
right.
You know, I know that some of our sisters and queens out there will argue that that's misogynistic, or, you know, that's a patriarchal system. However, I would challenge them and say, did that system work? Before colonization happened, did that system work? The answer would be yes. We can't use European standards and values to measure what's best for our community and our people. And see, we've become so enmeshed in their culture that we don't even see where theirs begins and ours ends. We don't understand the subtle nuances that impact how we think about everything. The fact is, if a 15-year-old in the Sahara is able to start his own, you know, farming with his own goats and prepare himself at 17 to be a father and a husband and protect his children and his seed, what makes that child different than an African-American child over here? Well, that's a whole nother show. But
right,
the fact of the matter is our youth are being poisoned and lied to. Our young men are being lied to. Their value to a child's life, their value in a child's life, their child's life, being a male figure in a child's life, being present in a home where a child is growing up, understanding that male and female are yin and yang, they are balanced and they bring balance to that child's life. When you don't understand your purpose and your worth and the reason you were created, you out here doing anything. You'll have 10 kids spread all over between 4 different states and not understand that you not being present is setting that child up to be vulnerable to all types of oppression and traumas and ills of this society. We have to go back and elevate our black young men. We have to go back and elevate our black men in our community. Because things are they're skewed. There's no balance.
And right, if you look at our people right now, you can see that there's no balance. You can see where to one side, and it's sad because now the pregnancies are coming at younger ages. You know, you have 11 and 12 year olds walking around.
You still there?
And it's, you know, it's shameful on so many levels, and we can't continue to go this route because, like you said, we are setting our children up for oppression, and we have to be able to give them a chance. And you know, I caution young men about walking around calling themselves kings or kangs. And, you know, I'm like, king makes king moves. I was like, you're being used as a pawn and you don't even know it.
Right.
And it's not always your fault, you know, because you haven't been taught to be a king. You know, king raised kings.
Yep.
Steel sharpens steel. And we have to realize that, like you said, you know, it takes two to tango and it takes two to raise a child.
I'm worried that the shift in the United States, and again, like I said, it started in the 90s where this me attitude came about, and also this, how can I put it? Because, see, if I say what I want to say it'll be misconstrued. It's not the demasculization of men, but it has been, you can watch commercials from the early 80s to the shift in the 90s where we started portraying fathers on TV as ignorant or dumb or goofy or as buffoons and just inadequate heads.
Right.
You see it even
in the cartoons, sis.
Yep. It has been this huge just shift in minimizing male presence, and that's how I take it. It's a minimizing of male presence. And male significance. And so, you know, you'll have a lot of people saying, you know, well, women have been disenfranchised and we need to elevate women and misogyny, this, that, and the other, focus on men.
Patriarchal.
And male advancement. Yes, patriarchal. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying is, and this is where, going back to what you said earlier, it's intentional to get us to think and believe, and this goes back to white privilege and white superiority thinking. We have been lied to believe that men, okay, we can't elevate men. We have to, the only way that women can be elevated is on the backs of men. So we have to put men down to elevate women. But you'll see that theme throughout history. We can't elevate this group without disenfranchising that group. My argument is we need to heal our black men. We need to intentionally elevate our black men in our black community. They need to hear what their value is to our community. Because we can simultaneously elevate our black men and our black women. It doesn't have to be an either or. And that's where I diffuse gender argument, because when you coming at me telling me about, you know, feminism and a feminist movement and this, that, and the other, I don't align myself with feminist movements, because feminist movements say that I have to minimize my black brothers while elevating women. I don't buy into that. That's propaganda. We need to elevate ourselves simultaneously. It's not either or. Our communities are dying. Our babies are dying. And what I mean by dying, I mean infant mortality rate. No, we need to change the messages that our youth are being sent. We need to change because there's an illness that's going on and it's killing us. It's killing us. As long as
let me ask you this, sister. Is it possible with the mentality of our people today? Because it seems like every time we bring up an issue, whether it be our black women or our black a gender war breaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, all the negative stereotypes come up of this, that, or the other, and, you know, and it just turns into a jumbled mess. And I see a lot of different groups and pages on Facebook dedicated to basically bashing the other gender. You have
mm-hmm.
groups of black men that are out here bashing black women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have groups of black women that are out here bashing black men. And I'm like, you know, where does it end? Where do we get a clue that, like you said, we can't elevate each other if we let go
mm-hmm.
of the vitriol and the hatred that we have for each other? That's as you know, nice as I can put it, but that seems
mm-hmm.
like what it is. It's like you have black men and black women out here hating each other. I'm like, well, how do we unite like
that? See, that's intentional. When you look at a divide, as long as there's going to be fighting between black men and black women, for brown and black people, then the oppressor doesn't have to do any work.
Right.
That's why I don't engage in arguments like that. That's why I don't get in online battles and go back and forth with people, you know, justifying justifying why I feel this way or why I feel that way. Okay, because we have a lot of people in our community, and I hate to sound cliche, we have a lot of people in our community that are asleep. They don't even understand that they're in the middle of a war. That's like feeding an infant meat versus milk. So we can't
right.
come at them, you know, speaking at a doctoral level when they in a third grade level of understanding. They have not been unplugged from the matrix.
Right.
So, you know, so we have that going on. We have the ills of poverty and how that's impacting us and how that's impacting our community. So it's a multifaceted issue that we have going on. One of the ways that we can kind of diffuse, if you will, the argument or people trying to rope you into a gender argument, one of the ways that we can diffuse that, one, is not engaging at all. I don't engage in any conversation where a black man is pitted against a black woman. I understand that there are a lot of black men who have issues with black women. I get that. But I understand where that comes from. And when you understand where that woundedness comes from, then you're not going to berate that individual. That'd be like me berating someone who has attachment issues, but they were raised in foster care. They're not, I mean, that's a byproduct of their circumstance. I'm not going to berate you because you hate black women when clearly something happened to you because your mama black, if you got sisters, they black. If you got a grandma, they black. If you got aunt, they're black. For you to have that much level of hatred and anger toward black women, something else is going on. Something else is going on. So I'm not going to put you down because of that. I'm just going to share my message. And when it falls on fertile ground, i.e. fertile ears, then we'll work toward that. And we'll try to keep increasing those numbers. But we will not engage in division in our community because I am sharing facts. Fact is, we need to change how our youth view their seed. Fact is, we need to spend just as much time teaching our young men about the value of life and the value of their seed and discourage this hypersexuality as much as we do for our young women. It's an equal issue. It's not just a female issue or a male. It is equal. So when people step to us and start talking about division, I don't participate in division in our community. I don't participate in it.
So I'm driving down the street with my 4-year-old nephew. He mm-hmm. knocking back a juice box, me a Snapple. Today, y'all, we are doing manly shit. I love watching the way his mind works. He asks a million questions. Uncle, why is the sky blue? Uncle, how do cars go? Uncle, why don't dogs talk? Uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, 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 as if his voice box is a warped record. I try my best to answer every question I do. I say it's because the way the sun lights up the outer space, it's because engines make the wheels go, it's because their minds aren't quite like ours. I say yes, no, no, yes, no, yes, no, I don't know, who knows, maybe we laugh. He smiles, looks out the window, spots a cop car, drops his seat and says, oh man, uncle, 5-0, we gotta hide. I'll be honest. I'm not happy with the way we raise our black boys. Don't like the fact that he learned to hide from the cops well before he knew how to read. Angrier that his survival depends more on his ability to deal with authorities than it does his own literacy. Get up, I yell at him. In this car, in this family, we are not afraid of the law. I wonder if he can hear the uncertainty in my voice. Is today the day he learns that uncle is willing to lie to him? that I'm more human than I am hero. We both know the truth is far more complex than do not hide. Both know too many black boys who disappeared, names lost. Know too many Trayvon Martins, Oscar Grants, and Abner Louimas. Know too many Sean Bells and Amadou Diallos. Know too well that we are the hard-boiled sons of Emmett Till. Still, we both know it's not about whether or not the shooter is racist. It's about how poor black boys are treated as problems well before we're treated as people. Black boys in this country cannot afford to play cops and robbers if we're always considered the latter. Don't have the luxuries of playing war if we're already in one. Where I'm from, seeing cop cars drive down the street feels a lot like low-flying planes in New York City. Where I'm from, routine traffic stops are more like minefields. Any wrong move could very well mean your life. And how do I look my nephew in his apple face and tell him to be strong when we both know black boys who are murdered every day simply for standing up for themselves? I take him by the hand. I say, be strong. I tell him, I say, be smart. Be kind and polite. Know your laws. Be aware of how quickly your hand moves to pocket for wallet or ID. Be more aware of how quickly an officer's hand moves to holster for gun. Be black. Be a boy. Have fun. Because this world will force you to become a man far more quickly than you'll ever have to need to. He lets go of my hand, but uncle, he asks, uncle, what happens if the cop is really mean? And it scares me to know that he, like so many other black boys, is getting ready for a war I can't prepare him for.
Of the seven deadly American sins, being black has become numbers 1 through 6. If this statement strikes you as radical, you haven't been paying attention. I bet you were surprised when the Martin verdict came in and guilt wasn't mentioned. And let's be clear, this was the Trayvon Martin case. George Zimmerman was never on trial. He murdered a child while we were more concerned with whether or not a boy had smoke in his lungs than the fact that he would never again use them. All over the nation, people claim this wasn't an issue of race, that the outcome was legally on par, accusing the left-leaning liberal blackjack dealers of once again playing the race card. They asked, what would have happened if Zimmerman were black? Would things have been any different? Well, of course they'd be different. If Zimmerman were black, this would have ended with a prison sentence. You can ask Marissa Alexander about any specifics that I'm missing, because for shooting a ceiling, she was sentenced to more time in prison than Trayvon Martin spent on the face of this planet. We live in a world where a man can be set free after admitting to the slaying of an unarmed teen, and CBS News has the audacity to run a piece headlined by Zimmerman's brother stating that George would now spend the rest of his life looking over his shoulder because, and I quote, there are people who would want to take the law into their own hands. Funny how some things are so black and white while others just taste like the rainbow. Red like the blood that stained the sidewalk where he fell after being profiled for walking too slowly. Yellow for the son of Tracy and Sabrina that shone bright by day but by night had stopped glowing. Green for the grass stains on pants that hung so low they heightened sensitivities without knowing. Brown for the identity Zimmerman played up for the all white. Sorry, there was one Latino set that we now consider a diverse jury. White for the privilege Zimmerman wore when he was out doing his neighborhood patrolling. And black? Black is just another name for numbers 1 through 6. Of America's seven deadly sins. And the seventh was ever believing that we would find justice in the hands of a system that pioneered the oppression of the Native Americans, the enslavement of the African people, carried out forced deportations, even though we all know who's really illegal. They gave summer camps to the Japanese. Who needs internships when you have internment? Who needs lower unemployment? We have prisons that turn prophecy. We don't need to fear God when we have capitalism to worship, and we certainly don't need these assholes always getting away in our neighborhood, so watch it, watch it. I was watching a trial that was over long before it could begin, so when the verdict finally came in, all I could hear were the words of the late Dr. King, calling for us to not allow the deafening noise of injustice to drown out the sounds of freedom's ring. So tonight, in honor of his legacy, I ask you this one thing. Please join me in this final call to let freedom ring. Let freedom ring from the rushing rivers of melanin that have overflown into our streams of consciousness so that people now claim we live in a post-racial society. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring from the graves of Emmett Till, Fred Hampton, Sean Bell, Amadou Diallo, Oscar Grant, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Russell Davis, Mike Brown, Azelle Ford, and all the other brothers whose names we'll never know, because even in 2014, a black man being killed still isn't enough to make it onto the evening news. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. I said let freedom ring. Free at last. Free at last. Dear God Almighty, this is not the freedom for which we've asked.
if you're interested in joining in, you need to just press 1 before we wrap up. If there's anybody else out there that wants to chime in on our topic tonight about understanding the importance of educating our young males in our community about the value of chastity, about the value of their ability to make and create life, about the value of scrutinizing who they want to plant seeds in and why that's important and why it's important for their seed to be planted in fertile ground. So if you're interested or you want to participate, go ahead and press 1 prior to us wrapping up tonight. I do want to say this. There's a lot of division in our community. A lot of it is because of the racial trauma and the oppression that we are experiencing and have experienced since coming to this country as enslaved individuals. We have demonstrated over and over again our ability to rise above the oppression that we are experiencing. One of the things that being an African American should tell you is no matter how hard the system that was designed to oppress us works against us, we push back and we excel. We need to take back our community, not to sound cliche, but to hopefully instill the urgency that is necessary for our communities to heal, because we are dying. And although we have resiliency, a lot of our youth is succumbing to the agenda, and there is an agenda, to destroy our seed. Once your seed is destroyed, once your seed cannot take strong root, your future is dim and it's grim. And that's one of the reasons, on top of systemic racism, why we have been held behind and been oppressed. If no one else wants to chime in or has anything that they want to add or need any clarification, I want to say this. Join me on Friday at 7 o'clock where we discuss our community, the ills of our community, where we need to focus our energy in our community, and how we can address the trauma and the result of the oppression faced by our community. I want to thank everybody that was able to join in tonight. I thank you for listening. I look forward to more people coming in and adding their thoughts to how we can heal our community.
Any show Tuesday to Thursday. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. Just go to UniversalSoulCircus.com.
Yes, if you had something that you wanted to say, speak.
Hey, Brother Ozzy. I thought it was a great show today. I really did. I think the topic is an ongoing topic that we need to discuss. And, yeah, we can discuss it without having to resort to, you know, gender wars, because that promotes healing. And a lot of great points were made tonight, a lot of great points.
Thank you for that feedback. I do appreciate it, Queen. I think that if we start dismantling the intentional efforts to destroy our community with division, and it is division, by pitting male against female and against the young, against the old, and the more affluent against the more impoverished, in all of these different ways that our community has been fractured. If we can start focusing more on how we can heal, then I think we'll be on the right path. It's going to take a minute because we're undoing generations of destruction. Intentional destruction.
Exactly. I don't think there was so much that we need to unpack in order to move forward. And I think only through discussing our pain as men, as women going forward, will we be able to leave those hurts in the past and move forward as a stronger, bonded collectivism of men and women, so we could be there for our kids.
Yes, that's what it's about, because I kind of touched on it earlier about immortality. We have this, you know, in the United States, this idea to live forever, be young forever, because there's no value on our elders and ancestors in this country. So African Americans have bought into that. And again, that's another way of dividing us. But what we need to understand is, as valuable as our ancestors are, our youth, our babies in utero are just as valuable, because that is how we live on. That's our immortality right there. And we have to strengthen our generation. So we strengthen them by educating our youth. And we have to get in there and we have to change mindsets, because you're right, we do need to unpack. But unpacking means that you have to understand what's in that suitcase and where that hurt came from, and understand why drug addiction, or why, you know, hypersexuality or theft or crime and all of these things are going on. And as we unpack it and we heal and we forgive,
Hello.
Are you there?
Sister, continue, sister.
That person's been muted.
Okay, that person's been muted, sister. Continue with the point you were making. It was
okay,
a valuable
all right.
point.
Thank you so much. It's necessary for us to understand what's in the suitcase. And, of course, I'm using that term figuratively. We need to know what's in the suitcase. We need to understand, you know, instead of scrutinizing a 12-year-old girl for getting pregnant because she's hot in the pants, that we understand that a 12-year-old girl who is pregnant and sexually active is probably being victimized. We need to understand that instead of protecting pedophiles in our community, that we need to collectively hold them accountable and turn, you know, and protect our youth. We need to understand that we have to change this mindset that half a man is better than no man, because, see, that sends the message to our young men that they are not expected to step up. And to our young women, it's telling them that they don't need to protect their womb where fertile seed needs to be planted, that they're willing to take half a man. We have to let our young men know that they are valuable, just as valuable as a mother is in a child's life. That father was put there for a purpose and a reason, and that when he is absent, that child is susceptible to every one of the levels of oppression and ills of oppression in this world. And we have to do it in love and forgiveness.
Exactly.
Hatred and anger are residual results of being impoverished and oppressed. This crab in a barrel, those are all byproducts of oppression. So the healing's going to start within, but it has to take quote unquote woke folks to understand that we got to stop berating each other. We have to stop participating in division, and we need to understand that we're planting seeds so someone else can come behind and cultivate.
That's so true, because there was a time when you was in woke either, so everything has
yep.
to be love. Most definitely.
Yeah. That's what we need to do, and so that'll be the focus. And I really appreciate your feedback. I thank you for taking the time to listen in with me. Like I said again, we'll chime in and listen and share their feedback, because we're going to take it to the next level.
that's it. That's what we're here to do, take it to the next level, to promote conversations, to promote solutions, to join together, to bring together a Black collective that promotes Black unity and Black empowerment all at the same time. Absolutely right.
Yes, yes. I just, you know, appreciate you participating and your feedback. And, you know, we as a collective whole and together, we can take care of it. We'll do it. We always have. We've always risen above.
No doubt. I'm sorry I had to bail out because I was at work and a lot of noise was in the background. I don't know who that fool was that called, but I did catch his number. He will be getting a phone call from me. But
thank you.
we definitely appreciate your show, sis. It was really a wonderful subject that we definitely needed to touch on. And I hope that we can do a part two or part three of this, because
okay.
We can't let the conversation end here. You know, we got to keep this dialogue going, definitely, because you definitely put a lot of information out there, and we need everybody to hear that. So, like we said, tomorrow night will be Sister Stephanie's show.
Okay.
That will be at 8 o'clock, Shadow Talk with Sister Stephanie. Then on Sunday night, we have Brother Melvin's show, On the Move with Brother Melvin. And then we have Open for Hope Radio. That's on Mondays at 9 o'clock. My show, The Revolutionary Journal, that's on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. And we're trying to figure something out for Tuesday and Wednesday. But, you know, it's a process. So once we get it down, Pat, we're going to let everybody know. But definitely go to Black Think Tank Radio Network, the Facebook page. If you want to get a copy or get a listen of Sister Misty's show. And Sister Misty, the link that I sent you, if you press on that link, you can listen to your show anytime. So you can continue to share that with your friends and let them listen in on what you're doing. And that goes for everybody that's listening on the network. You can go to any of the show links anytime and click on those links and you can listen to those shows. So with that being said, I got to get ready to get back on the plantation. So I'm going to mute myself, and you all can go on with the show. Let me know when you're ready to end the show, sis, and I'll take you out with a song.
Okay, thank you. Again, I invite everybody, because as we said earlier, it's going to take a community effort. I'm very passionate about what's going on in our community. I'm very passionate about the destruction of our African-American males. And I think that this avenue, getting the information out, raising awareness, holding people accountable, there's a shift in the energy in the universe, and there's a shift and the change is coming. And so you got to be ready for that change. We need as many people that are woke to, in a compassionate way, in a nurturing way, with kid gloves, to educate our brothers and sisters who are asleep. Because as the Queen mentioned earlier, at one point we were all asleep. We've all been plugged into the matrix. And until you take an intentional step to unplug yourself from the matrix, and we'll talk about this on another show, but to unplug yourself from the matrix and to understand that you've been fed lies and that you're willing to entertain an alternative reality, until that happens, you're going to be asleep, and our loved ones are going to be asleep. But I think through love, through consistency, persistence, nurturing, that we can wake up other people. I will acknowledge the fact that being asleep sometimes feels a lot better than being awake. Because when you're awake, you recognize and you see your oppression at all angles. And every 24 hours that you are awake, you're in a battle. And sometimes being oblivious of that battle can give you the illusion of being safe and secure. But you don't understand that awake or sleep, we're all fighting the same war, awake or sleep. We are being oppressed, awake or asleep. Our babies are dying. Awake or asleep, our youth are not getting the education they need. Awake or asleep, our youth are being fed poisonous water in Flint, Michigan, and not being allowed an education. Awake or asleep, just like a house nigga and a slave nigga and the lies that the house nigga had it better than the field nigga. No. See, whether you a house slave or field slave, you all a slave. So whether you awake or asleep, we're all oppressed. But when you wake up, you can be a part of a strategic battle to end this oppression, and that's what I'm trying to get. And with that, I would like to say thank you to everybody that took the time to listen to us tonight. I would encourage you to listen to the other shows. I would encourage you to look into Black Think Talk Radio and raise your awareness. And on that note, everybody, have a good evening.
Walk in the blood, yeah. I can see clearly. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Another bite. Somebody just got shot. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Tell me, can you hear? Body found in the attic.
contents of a purse scattered. Leftover, we shattered. Clothes tattered, lipstick smear. Broken glass, no news reports on the matter. Nobody gathered, nothing changed. Asked around, bowed a name. Some said Tamika, some claimed Lorraine. The tag on the foot said Jane. I wonder who she was. Did she give and receive love? Did she fight back or just gave up? She lay dear, legs cold, hair gold. Framed in the child's pose, bruised nose. Seeming say pantyhose, shot day on the radio. Sorrow singer through the window. I wonder if pain has a tempo. I bet it's slow. Street survive, never live, then we die. Drink the bird glass, ceiling higher. Born on the wrong side. Is there a right side? Classified, I labor sober, nickel and dime. And who decides? I lied by signing orders down the line. They see they gentrified, push us outside the city lines. Sirens frame the evening, profile for being not white. Breathing, walking the streets, bored cops, they fiending. Probable reason, no donut shops, the season roll up. On a couple cats, bandits speaking. Mexicans, but they screaming Puerto Ricans. They thinking they all the same, fuck them. Blow out their brains, killing season. It's 1 hour, wish they could take us all out. Let the dogs out, niggas should be hanging from trees. Auction off now, load them up, blast until they all down. Fire shots in full force now, they never see the courthouse, y'all. They never see the courthouse, y'all. They never see the courthouse. They never see the courthouse. They never see it. Hey. And something keeps telling me. I heard my brother say. Today on the block, somebody just got shot. Today on the block, look y'all, watch. Today on the block, another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Today on the block, look y'all, watch. Today on the block, another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Look y'all, watch. Another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Look, y'all, watch. Today on the block. Today on the block. Today.